The Man Performance USA. The greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. The Man Performance, presented this week and every week till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there. Hi, gang. This is Terry O'Sullivan, ushering in another Command Performance. Yes, sir. 30 full minutes of the top tunes and talent ordered in those letters, care of Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. And filling your orders tonight is a great Iowa American. He may be from Iowa, but he loves to visit about any part of the great 48. It's that man about baton, Meredith Wilson.
Thank you, Terry, and good evening all. Thanks to Corporal Bob Lesterson for asking me in. And I'll repay the Corporal right now by telling a great story. Now, Corporal, you know why a man always stands with his back to the fireplace? Well, it seems that years ago, Meredith,
I don't think you better tell that story. Look, you better just introduce our glamour girl for tonight.
Please, Terry. Now, the reason this fellow was standing there with his back to the fireplace...
Meredith! Now, just introduce the girl. Now, you said you'd dig up a high-toned introduction for her.
Well, Terry, I went through lots of books looking for a pretty tribute to fit a pretty guest. But the one I found doesn't quite fit a girl. It's a dilly of a tribute, though.
Oh, really? Well, how does it go?
Like this. Science can analyze pork sausage and say how much of it is phosphorus. But science cannot analyze any man's wish for pork sausage and say how much of it is hunger, how much nervous fancy, how much a haunting love of the beautiful. The man's desire... I wanted to say the man's desire for pork sausage remains as mystical and ethereal as his desire for heaven.
Well... That doesn't fit a girl.
What'd you say, Terry?
That doesn't fit a girl.
No, I guess it doesn't, does it? PFC Arnold Morley specified the glamour department for tonight, and it doesn't take science to analyze his desire for this babe. He sure isn't pork sausage, but come to think of it, she comes in a very slick casing, and she's very carefully stuffed. I mean this delectable, spicy Lena Romine.
Hello, everybody. Now I'd like to dig right into a number for William H. Gurney in Yokohama. Maestro?
When a man meets a woman, she's liable to think he's human. Unless she's the kind of woman who knows her own. Now take the advice, amigo, of one who knows. Don't be fooled by how he talks or the upside way he walks, 'cause a man is a brother to a mule. When a man gets contrary, it is best to be wary, unless you're the kind of woman who knows her mule. Now take the advice, muchacho, of one who's wise. Disregard his gentle side, 'cause when you get near his eyes, a man is a brother to a mule. You tell him to go, he says no, 'cause a man is a brother to a mule. He may have a dozen hands, wear a sporty coat and pants, but a man is a brother to a mule, to a mule, to a stubborn old mule, 'cause a man is a brother to a mule.
Just mighty fine, Lena. That's what it was.
Well, thanks, Meredith. And I want to thank you for that sweet introduction and for all your trouble looking for it. Gee, going through all those books and everything.
It was worth all the trouble, Lena. I learned so many interesting things. Now, when I go out with a girl, I'll never be at a loss as to what I should say.
Really, Meredith? Well, darling, suppose you and I are alone together in Griffith Park. Just us, huh? Underneath a beautiful moon. You're a man. I'm a woman.
Yeah.
Your arms were around me. I pursed my lips. Now, what do you say?
Lena.
Yes, Meredith.
Did you know that the largest toy drum factory in the world is located in Massachusetts? Isn't that kind of interesting? Lena?
Well, frankly, Meredith, I think we'd better give our listeners some dialogue with a lighter touch.
Well, that's okay with me. I'll tell them my joke, if you'll help me. All you have to do is to ask me, why does a man always stand with his back to the fireplace?
Okay, Meredith. Why does a man stand with his back to the fireplace?
Oh, boy, I finally get to tell it. You see, Lena, years ago, a boy named Sam was standing...
Meredith?
Why, it's Meredith Wilson's Talking People.
I'll tell you a story. Now, how would you like me to tell you why a man always stands with his back to the fireplace? Possibly you'd like to hear the story about the three trees.
Wait a minute, man.
Well, what's the matter?
You mean that old yarn about the woodland glade? Cuckoo, cuckoo. Surrounded by the three trees? There, and there.
Well, I only thought that it might...
Could you possibly be referring to that old chestnut about the three? Who passed through the woodland glade? Surrounded by the three trees? There, and there.
Well, I admit that it may be not the newest.
And stopped to drink at the beautiful bubbling spring. Blue.
How was that spring again?
Blue. And finally comes the hunter. Frightening the pretty little rabbit away from the beautiful bubbling spring. Blue. Surrounded by the three trees. There, and there. Was that the story you wanted to tell us, Mary?
I wish I were dead.
Harry Schneider wrote that he's had a yearning to hear a copy of Sleep, Kentucky Babe. And I think your Talking People are just the people to sing it for. Barbershop style.
Here's Emma humming on the honeysuckle vine. Sleep, Kentucky Babe. And then Emma coming to this little man of mine. Silver moon is shining in the heavens up above. Father Lincoln pining for his little lady love. You is mighty lucky, babe of old Kentucky. Close your eyes in sleep.
people. And now...
Have you got it all straight, Paulina? I'll introduce you, and right away you ask me, why does a man always stand with his back to the fireplace?
Right. You introduce me, and I'll say, Meredith, why does a man always stand there, et cetera, et cetera?
That's swell. And then I'll get to tell my joke.
Wait a minute. Meredith, who is that girl you're talking to?
Why, Lena, this young lady...
Why, Meredith! It's your 16-year-old piano playing discovery, Paulina Carter.
That's that girl. You got a line here now, Paulina.
Hello, Lena. Now, Meredith, why does a man...
Paulina, I think you're just wonderful. I've heard so much about your work. Why don't you sit right down and play Virginia?
Thank you.
Gosh, that sure was a pretty tune. And it's done by slapping down a little of few black dots on a piece of paper.
That's just the way it's done, Lena, composing and all that. Of course, the way you put them down has something to do with it, you know.
Really?
Uh-huh. And the person who slaps down those little black dots has a lot to do with it, too.
Well, how do you mean, Alice?
Well, Lena, John Doe or Richard Rowe could write down a simple scale, you know. And it's just a simple scale. But when Mr. Beethoven writes down the same scale, you got a great moment in music.
The very same scale?
Very same. Look, I'll show you. For instance, now, here's a scale by John Doe. Mm-hmm. And here's what Beethoven did with the very same scale in his first symphony. He sort of sneaks up on it, you might say, and he takes it all apart, but it's still the very same scale. Isn't that just simply elegant? Well, now, that's, now old Richard Rowe gets out his pencil and he writes down three notes of the simplest chord in music. Do, mi, sol. That's it. Now, what have you got? Well, you got do, mi, sol. Nothing. But just let Johann Strauss fool around with those same notes and they become great. Now, there's nothing very frightening about this one note, is there? Doesn't frighten you at all. But then Mendelssohn had to go and harmonize that note, and to this day, it scares the pants off of every bachelor that hears it. That's all. I want to say, are there any questions?
Yes, Meredith.
No questions?
That tells me how to start a composition. Just what else do I need to know before I can write a classic?
Well, now, Lena, there's an old musician saying that if an orchestra starts together and finishes together, the audience will forgive anything that happens in between.
Okay, then tell me about finishes.
Finishes, okay. The old masters were good enough showmen to know the truth of that statement about finishes, so they all tried to outdo each other in figuring out spectacular endings. The final chord always had to be some variation of do, mi, sol, do, so, mi, do. And it's interesting to see how the old boys could get sensational endings just by using parts of that do, mi, sol, do in different ways. Like Rossini did in the William Tell Overture, for instance. Do you remember? Do, 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 so, so, mi, 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 do, 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 so, mi, do, so, mi, do, so, so, mi, do, so, mi, do, 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 do. Now, Beethoven made his endings different simply by making them longer than anybody else's, you know. Like in his Fifth Symphony. I guess he figured that the audience would be so worn out that they'd applaud out of sheer relief. Just like you folks started to, you know? Well, now for the ending of the Second Hungarian Rhapsody, Liszt had a completely different idea. I guess he thought he could frighten his audience into applause before they knew what they were doing. Then, of course, there's that dainty, graceful scherzo ending that gets the elegant perfumed gloved applause of the ladies at the Friday afternoon musical. Allegretto. Don't you love it? Go ahead, applaud if you want to. It's perfectly all right. Now, you see, the composers are getting tired of playing those tired old do, mi, sol, do endings, and we get around to Richard Strauss, who pulled a switch in a piece called Thus Spake Zarathustra. Now, this composition was about a subject that was so deep that even Strauss couldn't understand it. It was just one big question mark, you might say. So he finished this great work in two keys at the same time. And he produced a great moment in music. A musical question mark. Now, some bright boy now decided that they better add the seventh to those endings.
That sounds very technical.
No, Lena, it isn't technical at all. Just number each note in the scale and you'll find the seventh. Easy enough. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That started the good evening friends ending, or without a shirt, as you prefer. Well, that got tiresome, so they raised it a half a tone. Then they added the ninth. And then the sixth and the 11th. And you know something? I don't think there's anything more they can add. So it is just remotely possible that we may someday get back to a plain old do mi fo do ending. It's C major 4. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So much for that. Now, I'd like to tell you why a man always stands with his back to the fireplace.
It's Meredith.
Uh-oh. But they're little talking people again. Go away, will you, people?
Don't be so inhospitable, Meredith. Let's hear what's on their mind. Talking people, what can Meredith do for you?
Gosh, we want to go on the stage. Can we, Meredith? Meredith?
On the stage? Well, where do you think you are now? On a ferry boat?
Oh, you know. On a regular stage, like acrobats and these limbs.
Well, I expect this is very stupid of me, but just what do you do?
We do imitations.
Imitations. Okay. What, for instance?
Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny? Well, go right ahead.
Wake up, Jack.
Oh, dear. Five Mel Blanks. Well, is there any other kind of an imitation that you can do?
Jack Benny's Quartet.
Oh, Jack Benny's Quartet. Well, let me hear that. No, that's not what I want. No, fellas. No, wait a minute. No, that's not what I want at all. No, now, fellas. Now, hold it.
Wait a minute!
Can't you do anything that makes sense?
You should hear us imitate goldfish, Meredith.
Imitate goldfish? Well, go ahead. Is that all?
Yeah. When television comes in, won't that be interesting?
Michelle, excuse me. I hate myself for interrupting like this, but if these talking people can give out with their corny imitations, I should think that I could tell my joke about the man who always stands with his back to the... And why...
No, you can't. Because they're all fit to do Managua, Nicaragua for the boys of Company C in Tokyo. Sorry, Meredith.
Won't you kindly open your geography? Let us turn to page 123. Between the Caribbean and the Pacific Shore, you'll find a city of a
Don't take a trip and on the ship sail away. Nicaragua, ole.
Every day is made for paying for it.
Aye, aye, cause every day is the end of. And they work from 12 o'clock to 1. Turn off for fiesta. And you can feast on enchiladas all the day long, provided your stomach is especially strong. So take a trip, and on a ship, you sail away.
Well, Meredith, this is where we thank the gang for asking us in. And those thanks come from everyone on the show. Meredith Wilson and his talking people, and Paulina Carter, and our announcer, Terry O'Sullivan.
Meredith?
Uh-oh, talking people again. Well, what do you want now?
Why does a man always stand with his back to the fireplace?
Now they ask me. Good night, all.
This is Lena Romar, fellas. Good night.
This program was arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.